and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 28, Matthew 8, verse 28. And the account here in this passage, in this chapter, the disciples have been bidden by the Lord to get in a ship, cross the Sea of Galilee, and the sea became tumultuous, and they thought they were going to drown. The Lord Jesus is asleep, and the Lord they wake up the Lord. There, and he says that they're fearful. Why are they being afraid? Why are they have such little faith in him? If the Lord's not worried about a thing, we don't need to be worried about a thing, and that's just the fact of it. Lord, help us. And then he says, "Peace, be still." There was a great calm, an instant calm on the sea, and they say, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And so that is our Lord and his power manifested here. And then we come to a special, a favorite portion of scripture here in this chapter. And in verse number 28, the scripture says, "And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And so we see there's two in this account that are mentioned that are possessed with demons. And when the Lord lands there, and we believe, we understand this correctly, this is not a Jewish inhabited people. Okay, we're going to see something regarding that makes us think that that's the case. This is either the mixed people, potentially like it is in Samaria, Jews and Gentiles mixed and their descendants, or these are just outright Gentiles, Assyrians that are here in this region, possibly. And so they're here in Gennesaret, this place of Gadara. And so they come out. It says here, two of them are possessed with devils. They're coming out of the tombs, the place where folks are buried. They're exceeding fierce. And when people would try to pass that way or even use that cemetery, we would wonder, these two prevented them from doing so. It tells us in other accounts in the Gospels that the one that the Lord deals with here is all cut and bruised and banged up, cutting himself on the rocks, going about naked, they are. And here in this passage too are mentioned. They cry out when they see the Lord Jesus, and they cry out not as men, but the demons that are within them, that are possessing them, they declare the glory of the Lord. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? I tell you what, when I read this passage, I always marvel at this, how much the demons know about the holiness, righteousness, and the person of the Son of God, and what they know about God. The scripture says in James that they know who God is, they believe in God, and they tremble at God. And yet mankind, being created in the image and likeness of God, such great blessing and glory bestowed upon us by our Lord, and we don't even know who the Lord is. We do not even know who the Lord is. We want to think of him as our pal or our good buddy or the old man upstairs. We think of the Lord as kind of like a year-round Santa Claus, old gray-haired and gray-bearded elderly fellow that's just trying to get something done, rocking around in heaven in his rocking chair. It's a terrible picture that mankind has of the Lord. He is holy. He is everlasting. He is not old and decrepit by any means. And again, the Lord never tries to do anything. He works magnificently. And so they know who this one is, that he is Jesus, the Son of God. And they declare this, "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" They know that they are accountable unto Jesus. And they know that Jesus indeed will torment them in time to come when they are cast into the lake of fire. The scripture says, prepared for the devil and his angels, God's holy place of righteous indignation, not a resort. Hell is not an eternal resort for the wicked to pursue their wickedness and their folly, but no, hell and the lake of fire are the permanent dwelling place of the wicked and the unrighteous, the unrepentant, the unbelieving, and the righteous indignation of God is upon them, heaped upon them for an eternity. These demons know that they are responsible and subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a good way off, verse 30, from them a herd of many swine feeding. And so we know that the Jews normally would not be ones that would be hog farmers. They would not be hog herders. There's many, many swine here in this bunch, this group. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And so they, knowing who the Lord Jesus is, possessing these two men, beg the Lord Jesus that he not send them out into the deep, but that they might go into the swine. And he said unto them, "Go." Now listen, they didn't go until he said go. And they asked permission of the Lord Jesus before they did go. And then at his willingness to allow them to go into the herd of swine, only when he declared it that they could, did they do so. And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. So these demons, they leave these men, they go out of these men at the bidding of the Lord. They know that the Lord Jesus has come, that he's going to cast them out of these men. And they are subject to him. They cannot do a thing without the permission, the allowance of the Lord. And they beg him to allow them to go into the herd of swine. He says, "Go." And then the swine, being possessed by them, run down in the steep place into the sea and are killed. And the thing is in other accounts in the scriptures, in the gospels, we see this same account, I believe, that they don't want to be, they won't want the Lord to cast them into the deep, but then yet the Lord sent them to the deep, evidently, and the swine run down into the sea and they die there, they drown there. Understand this, folks. Understand this. That which is demonic, that which is after Satan, that which has an affinity for death, that which has an affinity for skulls. I've never seen so much affinity for the dead and for skulls and this scourge of tattooing. People want to get tattoos of skulls and of bones, human bones, inked upon their bodies. Demons will do nothing but destroy. And the dead lead to death. And that's what these demons are, is just nothing but death. Nothing but death. They were a compromise to these two men. They were a compromise to that herd of swine. They were a compromise to the people of that land, not being allowed to have access to their own burial ground, these tombs. Satan and his minions do nothing but destroy. There is a vehement hatred of mankind. And so people, I beg you, if you're flirting around with the things of the dead, this of skulls and of bones of people and the demonic and the wicked, understand it is to your destruction. You are not the master of that. But you are indeed the slave of that. And Satan loves to have you right there in that place. Your destruction is all that he wants. It is all that he wants. He wants nothing but your destruction. Oh, he puts on as your friend, and he, without the salvation of the Lord and your sins washed away by Jesus and the Spirit of God living within, Satan is your friend because he's a friend that is leading you to death. He's really not a friend. Your adversary is presently is the Lord. But he just loves to cater to the wickedness and the temptation of men to lead them down the supposed rosy, wide, broad path to death and destruction. It's where he's heading. And if you're hearing my voice, I pray that you would flee those things and flee those things unto our Lord Jesus. Verse number 33, and they that kept them, that is the swine, fled, so they ran, these herders of the swine, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. So the ones that were keepers of the swine, after seeing the swine run down the steep place into the sea, being drowned, just unprecedented. We know in other occasions in the scripture there could have been 3,000 head of these pigs, these hogs that went down and were drowned into the sea. It wasn't two dozen. It was a gob of them. I mean, it was a bunch of them. So these keepers go into the city. They tell everything that they saw. They tell what happened with the demoniacs there. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Isn't that something? It tells us in other accounts in the Gospels that when they arrived there, and no doubt it took some time, it took more than minutes, maybe an hour or two, depending on their distance from the city, depending on how long it took them to get the word spread around. And the people come back and they see these men, they're sitting before Jesus. They're in their right mind. As it tells us, they've been clothed. They're sitting at the feet of Jesus, calm, with their understanding, no longer plagued by these demons. And the people say, Jesus, we want you to go. What a terrible, terrible, terrible thing when people want Jesus to leave. Want Jesus to leave. The demons being subject to him, his miraculous healing of these men, the manifestation of his power over all things in this world and out of this world, beyond this world, and the people want Jesus to go. How about you? Do you want Jesus to go? I'll tell you what, sinner, you need Jesus, and we pray that you might receive him. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in him and his death, burial, and resurrection for you personally, not a historical fact, but a personal fact that Jesus died for you. Repent and believe in the gospel of Christ. I see that our time has passed. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Rill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.